Proverbs came about when I had my first child and realized I was in desperate need for wisdom and found a rich supply of wisdom from God in the book of Proverbs. And I actually had a conversation with my pastor at the time, with Jackson, I said, you know, when you're thinking about your next series to do on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, it would be great to hear from Proverbs. And he said that would be great. He said, but Proverbs is difficult to work through verse by verse, because there are many Proverbs that are strung together almost in a list that are unrelated. And so it's hard to approach. And he's right in that. You can either preach just a verse at a time and have a sermon that gets repeated, or a message that gets repeated over and over again as that same theme comes back around again. Or you can take a large section of Proverbs that are unrelated and not have a central point to it. And that is why in our series we're not going strictly verse by verse, and that's especially true tonight. We're going to use chapter 4, 10 through 27 as sort of a launching off place, but we're going to be looking all through the Proverbs tonight at the very topic of parenting and children, which the Proverbs has much wisdom for us. So let's begin just by reading through chapter 4, verses 10 through 27. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The book of Proverbs is a book for children and for parents as well. One of the purposes of the book is found in chapter 1 and verse 4, where Solomon tells us that the book was written to give discretion to youth. Solomon wrote so that children would become wise, so that children would have sound judgment, so that children would live in a way that pleases the Lord. Remember from our very first study in this series, remember what it is that the discourse chapters 1 through 9, consist of. Who is writing to whom? These discourses are discourses from a father to his son, from a parent to his child, exhorting and encouraging his son to live in a godly way. So clearly, the book consists of instruction for children. But at the same time, it's a model for parents in terms of instructing their children. How tender and how urgent are the admonitions of the Father to his child in chapters 1 through 9. And you learn from these chapters the value and the preciousness of children. You know, here in Western culture today, children are often celebrated only if they are convenient and only if they are wanted. One of the great horrors of our time is that over 55 million children have been murdered legally in this country since Roe v. Wade was made a decision by the Supreme Court in 1973. It is a horror that is enshrined in our law. Let that sink in again. It is a horror that is enshrined in our law, in a nation that views itself as civil. The status of children is also evident in the declining birth rate in many Western countries. Did you know that there are many countries in Europe who face an uncertain future because of the low birth rate? That includes Germany, Holland, Belgium, Spain, and Italy. There is a cultural shift going on. A remarkably different attitude toward children has sprung up and is springing up in the Western world. My own brother and sister-in-law decided long ago when they first took their vows and got married that they didn't want children, any children at all. And so one of the first things that my brother did was to get a vasectomy. It's becoming increasingly common for people to remain deliberately childless, deliberately barren, even talking openly about how they don't like children. They don't value children. That's becoming common. How sad and distorted to have such a view of children. I praise God for the love of children that is present here at Dayspring. It is evident, isn't it, from the many large families that we have in our congregation. It is evident from the need that we have for nursery workers and children's church leaders and VBS volunteers. It is evident from the children who are here with us this evening who helped pick out the hymns that we sang tonight and who will participate in our prayer service tonight. Children are valued here at Dayspring. Having children is a wonderful blessing of God. Adopting children is a wonderful thing, a wonderful picture of the gospel, and we want to encourage it in our congregation. We rejoice in the love of children present in our church. We believe that we reflect the Lord Jesus in welcoming children. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belong the kingdom of God." Of course, welcoming and loving and celebrating children is only the beginning, because children are not born as disciples. Children must be taught to be disciples. They need instruction. With the blessing of children comes a great responsibility. And Proverbs speaks much about children and models that kind of responsibility. There's so much we could say on this topic, but I just want to focus on three themes that we see in the book of Proverbs. They're very simple, but we're reminded of how important, and they are these. First, parents must teach their children. Parents must teach their children. Second, and related to the first, parents must discipline their children. Parents must discipline their children. And third, children must respond to the training given to them by their parents. They must respond to the teaching, to the discipline. So first, parents must teach their children. The whole book of Proverbs emphasizes the fundamental importance of teaching your children. That's the first nine chapters, discourses, teaching, instruction, admonishing the son. And then the whole book, not just the first nine chapters, but you see in the whole book, the entire book constitutes teaching and instruction for children. Yes, it's for all of us, but for children as well. Listen to the following Proverbs and see how urgent it is for parents to teach their children. And it's even assumed at times. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. I just want to note here, the responsibility for teaching doesn't fall upon the father alone, but also on the mother. Mothers play a crucial and indispensable role in the life and the instruction of their children. We must be careful of an exaggerated emphasis on the one hand of the father, so that the contribution of the mother is diminished. The mother is included in this instruction here too, and here in Proverbs, in a very patriarchal culture, emphasis is given to the mother teaching and instructing the children. This emphasizes how important it is for mothers to teach their children. Of course, Proverbs also stresses the crucial role that fathers play. Fathers have the fundamental and final responsibility for the instruction of their children. It's easy for fathers to think on the opposite extreme that teaching the children, well, that's the wife's job. That is women's work, raising children. That's the mother's job. It's easy for the father to become passive and uninvolved and absent from the life of his children and not to play a major role in instructing them. How many Christians, how many Christian fathers have failed in this regard? They get so busy in their work that they neglect the instruction of their children. Fathers, do not shirk your responsibility to teach and to instruct your children. The living God of heaven places an emphasis on this aspect of your role as a father. This instruction is not just for family devotions or homeschooling or set times of formal instruction. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7 admonishes parents to teach your children when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know that Proverbs chapter 6 picks up on these words from Deuteronomy. I think you'll hear it as I read it. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Formal teaching is important, but often the best opportunities for teaching arises spontaneously as you live out your everyday life. In such moments, children see what is on your heart. They see in daily life what you really treasure and what you love as parents. In other words, children know. They know what you believe. They can distinguish between the words that come out of your mouth and where your affections lie, where your heart is. This is one of the great blessings of children. They know whether or not God is your treasure. It will be apparent to them. If you really cling to the gospel, they will see it. So you see, this is really a call to be close to God and to cling to the gospel, because children can see that. Children know that. If you are a parent, though, also intentionally work at communicating in all of life with your children. Talk to them about life as you experience it from a gospel perspective. Talk to your children about culture. Talk to them about politics, about baseball, about sex, about advertising, about movies. Talk to them about everything. They're surrounding you every day. They are just there. And so talk. If God is your treasure and the gospel is in your heart, they will pick up so much from you that is valuable and wise and godly. On the other hand, beware in such talk of being a legalist. Beware of being overly judgmental and cynical. You cannot overemphasize the importance of being gracious with your children, of speaking from a gospel perspective. It's possible to end up taking what we've said here so far and exasperating your children by lecturing them all the time. And that's not what I'm talking about. It really takes spiritual wisdom to apply these things well. It takes understanding. So remember that your children are children. But give your children a biblical perspective on every realm of life. Formal teaching also has its role. The importance of formal teaching is found in chapter 2, verse 1, where we read, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Treasuring probably has the idea of memorizing. It isn't the entirety of learning, but often memorization gets a bad rap. Children have a great capacity for memorizing scripture and for memorizing catechisms. Far greater capacity, really, than grown-ups oftentimes. Don't ignore the role of memorizing. How many of you have taught your children to memorize the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm or the Beatitudes? What a wonderful way to get children to treasure God's Word in their hearts by memorizing Scripture and the truths of God's Word. Of course, memorizing isn't everything. True teaching gets at the heart. It gets at the heart. You see this in a number of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Or in chapter 4, verse 3, "When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth.'" Did you notice that parents are to teach their children starting at a very young age? "When I was tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, I began to be taught." Age appropriately, surely. I don't think the father was reading Calvin's Institutes to the boy. But age appropriate teaching for a young, tender child. By the way, I would highly recommend to you, if you have young, tender children or young, tender grandchildren, I would highly recommend as a resource the Big Picture Bible. It's published by Crossway. We have the Big Picture Bible at home. My pastor at the time that Rebecca was born, he gave to us this Big Picture Bible as a gift, and it's become an invaluable tool for instruction for our children, both our children, in our home. We consult it even to this day as a family. It's a very excellent presentation of the whole storyline of the Bible, with the gospel being made very, very clear. And the father here, he aimed for the heart. "Let your heart hold fast to my words." Or chapter 4, verses 22 through 23 that we read at the beginning. "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So keep them within your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. That means that as parents, we're called upon to teach, but that teaching is accompanied by fervent prayer. Parents must be prayer warriors. How will the teaching penetrate the hearts of your children? You can't do that. I can't do that either. We pray for the work of the Holy Spirit in our children. We pray that the Spirit will take the Word and imprint it on the hearts of our children. Memorizing is great and important, but we want the Word to be on their heart. We want our children to love the gospel. We want a supernatural grace to be poured out on them. That's what children need most of all in life. And that's what you need most of all. You need the gospel. And parents, it's your responsibility to teach the gospel to your children. And children, it's your responsibility to respond to the gospel by repenting of your sins and by turning away from your own wants, your own desires, and by turning to follow Jesus, trusting in Jesus alone as your Lord and Savior. You're not guaranteed salvation just because you're raised in a Christian family, just because you have parents who love the Lord. Well, back to the main point, Proverbs emphasizes the instruction of children. Teaching is the most important function of discipleship. Too many Christian families do not instruct their children. Note that the instruction is not fundamentally the job of the church, but the parents. The church can assist, and we do many things here to assist. I think God for the assistance that we have here at Dayspring. I'm so grateful to God for the time that so many have invested here into our children. So the church can assist, but fundamentally, it's not the church's job, it's the parents' job. The role of the church is important, but it's small compared to the role of the parents. Children watch their parents every day. They know their parents. Children don't live with their pastors or their Sunday school teachers or the children's church leaders. They just don't see them the same way. They don't know them the same way. It's just different. So the most profound influence, not dismissing the influence of the others, the most profound influence in the lives of children is the influence of their parents. Ultimately, the responsibility lies upon the parents. God calls you as parents to train and to guide your children. So our first point is that parents are called upon to teach their children. Secondly, parents are called upon to discipline their children. They're to discipline their children. Many Proverbs communicate this truth. Chapter 13, verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Don't you think that that proverb is directed to parents who are hesitant to discipline their children because they think that it is unloving? But actually, you're told the failure to discipline is unloving. The Bible does not endorse in any way ever physical abuse. But it does teach us that we must practice loving discipline. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says something very similar. Discipline your son, for there is hope. Do not set your heart on putting him to death. Isn't that a remarkable proverb? Don't set your heart on putting your child to death. True discipline stems from the heart of love. We discipline our children because we want them to live. We want them to have life. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14 says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol." There is wisdom here, and we need to hear this kind of wisdom in our day and age more than ever, because nation after nation, very soon our own nation will go this way. It's already headed there. They are confusing physical abuse with corporal discipline, so that they see spanking a child, a parent spanking a child with a rod, as being just as wrong and evil as physical child abuse. They equate the two. So we must be very careful lest we think that we are more loving, more sensitive, more moral, and more kind than our ancestors. We can easily fail to see our own cultural weakness. We live in a narcissistic, me-oriented, me-centered age. On the one hand, that can lead to the neglect of children, that narcissism. But on the other hand, it can lead to a spoiling of children as well. Loving corporal discipline isn't the only tool at our disposal as parents, but it's one tool that God gives us to shape our children. It can save their soul from Sheol. That's serious. That is profound. So we must beware of thinking that we are more wise and we are more loving than God is. Whether we discipline our children depends upon our theology. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Are children naturally good? This is what the proverb says. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Children are born with a sin nature. As cute and as wonderful as they are, children are born fools, and they need to be disciplined. You see the same truth in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. This is where our narcissistic generation has gone. Many in our culture say, just let children develop naturally and they will turn out to be beautiful. That's not what God's word says. It's a wrong understanding, and ultimately it is damaging to the child. It's ultimately not loving. You have to take into account that children are made in the image of God, and that children are marred by sin from birth. Both of those truths are essential to wise fathering and wise mothering. Have you been in a home where there is not loving discipline? There's chaos and turmoil and confusion. You and your children will be happier if they are disciplined. When I was a little boy, I dreaded it. I hated being disciplined. Looking back on it, I wish I had been disciplined more. I really do. The disciplined child gives joy to his parents' heart. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, He will not depart from it. Dedicate a child in the right way, and normally, this is not a promise, but a principle, normally they will not depart from the right way. We can have confidence in raising our children. And that brings us to the third and final truth from Proverbs on this particular topic. I've been talking a lot about the parents, but thirdly, children must respond to the teaching of their parents. The responsibility for obedience. There's a lot of responsibility for parents, but the responsibility for obedience ultimately lies with the children. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a fool does not listen to rebuke. So finally, the decision to be wise, it belongs to the child. Children, you can become stubborn and rebellious. Proverbs 19:27, cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Children can harden their hearts to the things of God. So Solomon says, chapter 23, verse 26, my son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Children, how important it is to give your hearts to your parents. Notice what he says, give me your heart. Because in giving your heart to your parents, you're ultimately giving your heart to the Lord. Children aren't neutral, even when they're young. One of the most fascinating proverbs to me is Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Even a child makes himself known by his acts, by whether his conduct is pure and upright. We can even see in a child, as young as he or she might be, we can see where they're heading. We can see where their heart is by the way that they act, by their attitudes and their statements and their actions. Some children end up the way that they started, as fools. Listen to the following proverb, Proverbs 30, verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Or 30 and verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Now that is symbolic language, but it is symbolic of the judgment of God. The author wants us to feel how horrific it is not to obey one's parents, and how horrific it is to mock one's parents. To mock one's parents is to mock the living God, ultimately. Proverbs 20:20 says, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. More judgment imagery. Or Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Perhaps some parents feel that way today. I know that some parents feel that today, that kind of grief. Proverbs 17:21. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Now, being a fool in Proverbs, it isn't a matter of intelligence. It's a moral category. Proverbs 15:20, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. What heartache it is for parents when children turn away from the Lord. But what joy, what incredible joy, if they follow the Lord. But still, it is finally the responsibility of the child, whether or not you are wise or whether or not you are a fool. It's not finally the parent's responsibility. In fact, you could have terrible parents. You could have terrible, unbelieving parents. And it is still your responsibility not to be a fool, but to seek wisdom, to seek to know the Lord. It is your responsibility as a child. So children, we want to see you delighting yourselves in the Lord, in the new heavens and the new earth forever and ever. So don't be fools. Be wise. Listen to the teaching of your parents as they point you toward God. Submit to them for your joy and for their joy. And parents, final word for parents, never give up. Never give up on your children. Don't stay mired in discouragement if they are not following the Lord. Remember the story of the prodigal son who came home after living a wicked life for many years. Keep loving your children. Keep praying for your children. Pray for them every day. That's an admonition for all of us, for parents, but also for the whole congregation. Keep praying for our children. When you go through the Dayspring directory during your prayer time, pray for the children too. Lift them to God's throne regularly. And then one last word, parents especially, plead with your children to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Plead with them to do that. Entreat them. Entreat them to respond to the gospel and to know Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word that addresses every matter of life. We thank you so much for our children, how you have blessed us, what joy children bring to our lives, what an incredible gift they are to us, what a treasure, and what a responsibility. Lord, may we be faithful as parents and as a church to teach them, to nurture them, and to love them. Lord, how we need your wisdom, whether they are young or older, give us wisdom. And we pray most of all that you, by your great power, would radically save them for your glory, rescue them from evil, direct them in the good and living way. For the sake of your great name, we pray. Amen.